morning have been just what the doctor ordered. Andrew, we're going to skip through the scripture reading since Wayne had that. So let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Bless it to all of us. May these be your words. I pray, Lord, that anything that is not from you would not be said. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Something from what I said last week. At the end, I went off script a little bit, and I talked about the dark continent. And I said that it's arrogant for us to, and I didn't say it this way. It's arrogant for us to call anywhere else dark when we are dark here. And it was misunderstood to a certain extent. And so I wanted to explain that. And if you need to know more about what I meant by that, just have a talk with me on that. As I was doing my report for the year for 2022, I looked at my script, looked at my sermons, and realized that and also at our budget and how we need to rely more and more on the Lord. We look at how our budget was climbing, and I realized I hadn't preached about giving since before COVID. Here we go. This is the first talk in a month-long series on stewardship. Now, I think this is a subject that's not very threatening for ABC people, but it is for some. Bill Hybels used to say that most preachers would rather preach about sex than to preach about money. I've never felt that way, but I've not minded preaching about sex either. But we just have to be careful about that. But for some people, it is a threatening thing. They hear the word stewardship, and cold fear strikes them to their core. Because stewardship is about money, right? And the preacher's after my money, right? After all, they heard about the preacher who got up to preach about giving, and he says to the nervous members of his congregation, "I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is this church has all the money it needs. And the bad news is, all that money is still in your pockets." And it is true that stewardship is about money, but it's about much, much more than money. It's about everything. Stewardship is about everything. And as the children of the living God and followers of the risen Christ, all that we have is God's. Because all that we are is God's, okay? God owns us. We are his servants. If we are his servants, he owns us. The other night in worship at dinner church, we sang, "I Surrender All," which begins, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give." And while that may be true to a varying extent in our lives, and some of us might feel dishonest as we sing it, actually all of us probably should feel dishonest as we sing it, it's supposed to be true. There's some songs that we sing that are us wishing, us hoping, moving towards that. I don't like "fake it till you make it," but it's kind of like that. All we have is God's, and we are the stewards of all of that. So we will indeed talk about money, but it will be several weeks down the road. And that's good because, as I said, I don't think I've preached a sermon about money since before the COVID lockdown. And then the COVID lockdown happened, and the generosity of this congregation was mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. We didn't have to borrow money. The people of God here gave. Don't break your arms patting yourself on the back. It's just that you were being obedient. By the way, the COVID lockdown began 3 years ago next week. Ancient history. Now, today's talk is about creation. And in this series, which I've entitled The Call, this opening message I've entitled Called to be Caretakers. As we look at this earth that God has given to us for his safekeeping. It's not a political issue. Some people make it that way. Some people even want to think it's that way so that they can avoid it. It's a spiritual issue, taking care of this earth. And it's good for this to be first because we've not been very good at caring for our Father's world. And don't worry, I'm not going to harangue us like some kind of wild-eyed, tree-hugging environmentalist, okay? I'm just going to point out by using just three passages out of many that we are to be providing for and standing up for and for the loving care of God's creation. Now, finally, the rest of the talk. In Genesis 1, 26 through 31, which Wayne read a little bit ago, we see that we are God's highest creation. We have the ultimate responsibility for the care of all there is. And that is the very definition of stewardship. Imagine your parents have paid about 550, this is a story from England, by the way. They had paid £450, which is almost $550, for a beautiful wedding cake. And then this highly recommended and regarded baker, who's a dear friend of your best friend, and who really loves her work, spends time planning and mixing and baking and icing and decorating your three-tiered wedding cake with macarons on per your request. I guess that's a thing now. We had a wedding cake at Emily's wedding of cupcakes, if you remember that. Tiers of cupcakes. And then this baker safely delivers the cake to the reception hall. Everyone, ooh, and ah, at this cake, at its beauty and its creativity. But when you and your new husband go to cut the cake, the table collapses at the mere touch of your knife, and the beautiful, tasty and terrible and expensive creation becomes a glop of sweetness on the dance floor. All that work is gone in a flash. Mom and dad's hard-earned money is splattered on the shoes of expectant onlookers. And what does that mean? The cutting of the cake means something, doesn't it? I mean, when they, at wedding receptions, they're cutting the cake, and everybody runs, and they're pulling out their cameras, their phones nowadays, and the whole crowd runs to the cake table. And it turns out there are a bunch of meanings attached to it in my Google search that I did, like, what does that mean? Why is it important? None of them seem plausible, but it means something, okay? So is this a bad omen? For somebody who's not a Christ follower, they might think it's a bad omen when a cake falls. I don't really know. But what I do know is that dessert is on the floor, and only the men in the crowd who aren't at all worried by the five-second rule are circling the mess and looking for the best piece to snap up and savor. But all that loving, creative work, and someone has destroyed it. In this case, by accident. Now, God lovingly created all that there is. He created our earth and everything in it. He created us in those 6 days. If you read the 25 verses that read up to the text, you know that at the end of each day of creation, God looked at his work and pronounced it as good. But he was being modest. And the writer of Genesis, who was Moses, really understated the wonder of that creation, because it wasn't just good, it was perfect. F.B. Meyer writes this about God's perfect work: creation reveals God's nature as the picture of the artist. His eternal power and Godhead are visible in his works. Did you notice that verse 26 begins with, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Let us make humanity in our likeness. It's a picture of the Trinity at work in creation. And that's why Meyer goes on to say in his soaring, it's always soaring and descriptive, he says, "And all things and beings were made through Jesus Christ. The hands of the Son of God wove the blue curtains above us and filled them with luminaries. The seas are his. He made them and filled them with living creatures. The woodlands are the outcome of his mind, and he filled them with flowers and birds. He taught them to live without worry. He filled the tiny heart of the mother bird with love for her young. His are the cattle on a thousand hills. He molded the red earth into his own likeness and made man." Adam means red, okay? Red earth. Meyer continues, We were made to have dominion. Ask God to put all things, especially all the evil things of your heart, under your feet. The world is good, and you are good, you find it so. Dominion means being a caretaker, not a taker or a destroyer. This is a beautiful creation that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit put their creative mind together to lovingly fashion, and far too often, the highest of that creation, mankind, has left it a mess on the floor. We must, as long as it depends on us, to borrow some of Paul's language from Romans 12, we must make sure that we care well for it. Clyde Francisco writes, "In Genesis 1, God is portraying us as God is portrayed as freely creating. Just so man, although unable to achieve God's unique creativity, also has the ability to make a new beginning, to make the world better or worse. The animals live by instinct, but man is made for better things. The animals are told only to procreate. Man has additional assignments of establishing dominion and subduing. If a man is cold, he may light a fire. If he is hot, he may build an air conditioner. Animals within their limits of their instincts must adjust to the environment they cannot change. Man can change it for better or for worse. End quote. It's like this. Man has to expedite the process of subduing. It's his privilege and it's his challenge. Francisco goes on, he says, it has been the tragedy of man's history that he has thought the dominion over nature given to him for his own benefit. As a result, he has squandered the earth's resources. Now man is coming to realize that his dominion consists of the responsibility to help every aspect of nature to attain its highest goal. In a sense, he is to join God in the awesome task of continuing the work of creation. But we have some catching up to do. Instead of being destroyers of creation, we get to be called to be the caretaker of this wonderful creation. And because caring for what is God's brings glory to him. And it's a good motivation. Let's take a quick look at Psalm 8, which we heard during our music and worship set, that wonderful prayer. The psalmist is in spasms of joy at a creator who is so completely otherly, yet has included humanity in his plan. Do you understand that? The creator God of all this. I mean, you have to think about it, and we can't wrap our minds around it. He loves us. He knows us. He knows us intimately. And he's included us in his plan. John Durham comments, the song opens with one of the most profound yet simple praise prayers of the book of Psalms. It's a great song. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all your earth. I can hear, her name escapes me now, singing it. And he goes on, Durham goes on to point out that the word translated as majestic in most translations may also be rendered glorious and powerful or delightful. That coupled with the fact that Yahweh's name often represents or is equal to his very presence in Old Testament thought, the line can be rendered Yahweh. Our God, how delightful is your presence throughout the earth. And that's a powerful thought. Now think about it. Ponder the fact that the glory of God's presence is not limited to any part of the earth. It encompasses it. It's followed by the next line that shows that God's majesty extends even above the heavens. And that shouldn't be a new thought for us, but maybe it is. So soak it up. I love what Dale said. God doesn't just show up. He's always here. He's with his people. So I've always not really liked that expression, God showed up. It's like he left us by ourselves. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that for his people. Ponder the fact that the glory of God's presence is not limited to any part of the earth. God is present everywhere, and that's what Creator God can do. The extent of God's wonderful creation is mind-boggling, and as is the complexity of his work, and the awesome responsibility is ours to care for that handiwork. It's God's gift to us. Being caretakers of creation is a gift that we receive. And then finally, another reminder is that it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. Let's quickly look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Let me read it to you. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Peter doesn't overtly address creation here, but he definitely points out that the people of God are to be caretakers of everything. Everything. Paul told the Colossian slaves, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. But the truth is, that's the calling of every Christ follower. It's not just for Colossian slaves. It includes our calling to be caretakers of the earth and everything in it. It's a tall order, but we are called to do it, and then he gives us what we need to do it. David Wheaton writes, it is urgent that Christians practice their calling, displaying self-control, mutual love, and a diligent stewardship of the gifts God has given them. This is the life that will bring glory to God. And there it is again. We are to care for our gifts from God, and creation is a gift, and the care of it is a gift. And it brings glory to God as we do that. Barclay writes this about Peter's words. He says, it is only when we see the affairs of earth in the light of eternity that we see them in their proper proportions. It is when God is given his proper place that everything takes its proper place. The Christian has to regard himself as a steward of God. There's that word again. And he ends with this. The Christian must always be under the conviction that nothing he possesses of material goods or personal qualities is his own. It all belongs to God, and he must ever use what he has in the interests of God, to whom he is always answerable. We have to answer for this. It all comes down to this. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. That means we are his. And as the ones who have surrendered our lives and our eternity to him, we are also caretakers of his earth. It is our calling. This is our Father's world. It's our calling. And as we carry out that calling, the aim of all we do is that through it all, God be glorified. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. You are good. You are good. Thank you, Lord, for your good creation.